Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Chat of the Wild. My name is Bradley's Apartment, and we're here today to talk about Legend of Zelda. Is it a potato? Sending it to you, Ruby.
Hi, my name is Ruby. I am known to play Legend of Zelda games online. I play through the entire Hyrule Historia timeline. And right now I am on the Legend of Potato Minish Cap because that's what my chat decided to name Link. But huge fan of the Legend of Zelda games. They're what got me into video games. So I'm excited to be here. And Luigi.
Special guest Luigi is joining us today.
Oh, yes, because it's our podcast so much. Now. You invited us, not
Thanks
realizing
so
we would take it
me.
Over.
Luigi, you're welcome back anytime on this show.
Well, it's a real treat, guys. I've always big fan, long-time listener, first-time caller. Really excited to be here to talk about potatoes and ducks and what those all have to do with each other. Triforces, triangles, something like that. Triumph forks, who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hi, guys.
I like Legend of Zelda as well.
Okay. That's a good starting point, yeah.
Love, my favorite one, Link's Awakening. Big fan.
Oh, good choice.
Yep, OG Game Boy one, I prefer. The Game Boy Color one's nice as well. The remake is good, but I really like the old one. And I don't know, is there any Zelda games coming out soon?
There does seem to be some chatter on the internet. I've seen like a new Switch SKU, so I guess probably be a good thing to look at. Breath of the Wild 2, I assume.
Tears of the Kingdom with Daddy Ganon as the internet has affectionately deemed him. You brought me on a Zelda podcast, so I get to geek about it now. Literally the very first game that I ever played full start to finish, because I wasn't allowed to play a lot of video games when I was growing up, was The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons. A guy in the neighborhood loaned me his Game Boy Color, and I would hide under the covers at night with a little flashlight, just playing it under the covers so that I could beat the whole game and get it back to him in a few weeks. And I already loved fantasy stories, but getting to play it and be part of the story, be the protagonist, it changed my life. So I not only love the Legend of Zelda games and the fact that they are such a, how do I put this? They've become such a pinnacle for what video games can be. Like Ocarina of Time is so often attributed as one of the first big adventure games to be that intricate and expansive a world in 3D. And then Breath of the Wild, the map is so much bigger than any other game that I had seen up to that point. So getting to see the Tears of the Kingdom trailer that takes everything I love about so many of these games that I have played, like every single one on day of release with a few exceptions, and it mixes Breath of the Wild with the Skyward Sword map. Oh my God. Those are two of my favorite Legend of Zelda games. I'm so excited.
Wait a sec. It mixes the map with Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I don't get.
The latest
I don't know.
One definitely has some of that.
Explain this to me, because I've never played Skyward Sword.
So
in Skyward Sword, there is an island in the sky that plays a big role in that. I made a joke when we saw that and we were discussing this and we're like, look at this platform. It comes out of this egg thing that we are proposing as part of Skyloft. And at the bottom of it, there should be a bird statue with a missing ruby eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, there's a spot there where, like, it's the bridge into where the Triforce is being held. There's a very important structure in this trailer, this latest trailer, that's okay. Crazy. Yeah, so there is architecture here, and that is cool. You're right.
Yep. And to go over some of the lore, so Skyward Sword is the very first canonically in the timeline. So the general lore is that there, the goddess Hylia and Ganon had, or at the time known as Demise, had a huge and horrible conflict. And it was so bad that when Hylia created humans and the Hylians, she wanted to protect her people, and the war on the surface was getting too violent. So she sent up islands into the sky specifically to protect them and to protect this light force that Din, Neru, and Feror had created, these other mm-hmm. goddesses. And in order to essentially save the world, they ended up getting locked in a reincarnation cycle with Demise as a result of a curse. So Zelda is constantly Hylia being reincarnated. Link okay. is just this hero that's constantly being reincarnated. And Ganon is mm-hmm. Demise being reincarnated. So if
thanks,
you see...
Thanks to an error with some time travel, instead mm-hmm. of winning the day, a cycle is created. Yeah.
Yeah. So like... Kapura Gabora, that you see as the like dad professor in Skyward Sword, is reincarnated as a really annoying owl in many of the other games.
Hey, I like him. Actually, in Link's Awakening, the owl is the antagonist as far as I'm concerned, because the owl is like, dude, go this. Actually, you know what? You know what? He does tell you to burn it all down, so I'll step off that. It is still the darkest Zelda game.
Mm-hmm. So was Demise, you said, was the originator of Ganon. Was Demise super hot daddy as well?
Demise was like buff fire hair daddy.
Okay. I like that kind of daddy as well. That works for me. It's different. Not my Pedro Pascal type, but more of a mountain type. I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah, I see. Yeah, because Demise is different from Ganon, is different from Ganondorf somehow.
Ganon and Daddy so is what they call him now.
We saw a lot of... We saw each of them. Well, actually, we didn't see Ganon, but we saw Ganondorf and Demise, and we'll see how that all plays out. But I'm interested mm-hmm. to see that.
In the canon, typically Ganondorf is the more human version of Ganon.
Can we call him Ganondorf?
Yes.
If he's in canon, he'll be Ganondorf instead of Ganondorf.
Mm, yes.
Yes.
So canonically. Ganondorf is the canonical human.
Canonically.
Ganon.
Canonically.
Canon Ganon.
I'm putting canonically in my pocket for use whenever. Well, canonically speaking, all right, sorry.
Yes, no, I love it. Ganon is more the beast form that he takes on, and then Demise was just the very first of these that they were kind of born from in this reincarnation cycle.
It's like the evil itself, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's almost like we've added another step to the classic... like Aghanim kind of character, the sorcerer that helps Ganon come back to life. We sort of put another person on top of that, where Ganondorf is sort of the sorcerer to Demise now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep. So the point of all this, and this explanation is... In Skyward Sword, not only is there this big island that she sent up to the sky, but there are also a bunch of branching islands. So in Skyward Sword, not only do you have the surface map, but you have this huge map in the sky with a bunch of different islands you can visit.
Bring it back. Huge. There's not a lot to do up there. It's cool, but
well,
it's nice that we'll get to see like that kind of idea realized in a cool way.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to crap on Skyward Sword. I'm sorry, Ruby.
No.
It's okay. I really like Skyward Sword. I'm just excited to see the like sky map mixed with the Breath of the Wild map. It takes two of my favorite Zeldas and kind of mashes them together.
Until the most recent trailer, I was not excited for Tears of the Kingdom. I knew it would be a special game, but I was not excited for it. This is Breath of the Wild 2, whether or not they call it Breath of the Wild 2. And the fact that they were reusing a lot of the map, I'm thinking, like, is this going to be... Is there enough here to warrant a sequel rather than, like, a really good DLC? What are they going to do to make this its own identity using almost the exact same engine? It's a beautiful world they created for Breath of the Wild, but I wasn't sold. Mm-hmm. And the floating islands is very cool. I like all of that adding to it. I don't also want to go back into every cave I've done, so I'm excited to see how they redo the core map.
We've seen some like gigantic underground, like FromSoft level, like underground monolith buildings and things like, so I don't just think above ground. I think there will be also below ground things to screw around with too. And I'm kind of excited to have something giant to crawl, like climb around in.
What really did it for me in the trailer was them showing off the weapon fusions, the item fusion system, mixing things together to create your own weird everythings. What Breath of the Wild was groundbreaking and so fantastic at was emergent gameplay that it bends to your imagination any way you want it to. If you think something might be possible, you better believe it's going to work. I've never played a game that had so many possibilities for gameplay creativity as Breath of the Wild did. And to see them taking this concept of, oh, you like that sword? Put a leaf on it. Now you have a sword with a leaf. There's like thousands of different weapon possibilities and items. And that's when I've changed my mind and I day one pre-ordered. I don't like day one pre-ordering, but I also get a horrible feeling when I'm like, oh, the next 3 months of my life are written in stone.
Yeah. It's
knowing that something's going to swallow me up. Feeling.
There's something to be said for at least Breath of the Wild, and now it looks like this too, of Nintendo finally trusting you to get it again, to like just figure it out on your own. They've given you the tools that there are ways that they will, you know, very typical of them, that they will still prod you in certain ways, but for the most part, it looks like they're trusting us to just get it figured out. Whereas a lot of Zelda games leading up to it had turned into, there is a sign here to tell you to turn around and go back down the way you came. Kind of stuff, which for better or worse had become what the series was. They're still great games. Don't get me wrong. I love all Zelda games. But when you play them a lot, you start thinking about them a little bit more. I don't know.
Hand-holding mechanics, right?
Yeah, and I like that it's just go. Like, I don't know, figure it out now. Like, we've got to, hopefully, I think to your point of you don't want it to be just the map all over again, even with all the new stuff, Never mind. We talked about that. I figured out what we're doing. We're good. Never mind.
Yeah, I was just excited
how that conversation went.
I'm just happy that there's more gameplay happening. Because, I mean, the system that it was built on is just so huge. And for them to make it, to add more layers to it was very exciting. And those floating islands do look pretty dang cool.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I am excited for, which because of course I am, is, you know how there were the huge rock golems or the big ogres in this one that were 20, 30 times your size? The first time I saw one, I went, oh, I want to fight that. And then immediately got killed, had to run away, level up a bunch before I could come back. But of course, I love killing giant monsters and trying to figure out how that works.
It's what you do.
It's what I do. I ever since playing, you know, many games of my past, I love really epic feeling boss fights or these wandering fights with these enemies that you randomly find in the landscape. And one of the things you can see in the trailers is a bunch of bokoblins riding on top of one of the stone monsters and throwing things at you. So the fact that they're basically Transformers meshing multiple giant monsters to make something even more terrifying, to me, is incredibly exciting. Especially as someone who really enjoyed the DLC and the Trial of the Sword that essentially forced you into a lot of those fights with very few weapons. I love that kind of challenge.
That's like where that is like the perfect distillation of Breath of the Wild is like, play Trial of the Sword. That and like Hyrule Castle. Like that is what that game is. I'm more excited because I want to have more pins because I was the person who anytime I saw a Hinox or a Talus or a Lynel, I was like, okay, mark that on my map so that I can go back and kill it whenever I want to.
Or just mark it on your map so you don't go back there.
Right. You know, sometimes you don't want to go through there, but I also want to know where they are, like in case I, you know, I have nothing to do someday. Like, I'm just going to kill a bunch of taluses and get a bunch of rocks and minerals and stuff. I want there to be different, like, Zelda end bosses scattered around the map. Or, like, yes, Lynels, yes, taluses, cool. But, like, what else you got? What other terrifying giant thing can you pull out of an old Zelda game and stick in front of me? Please, more of that.
One thing that I think Breath of the Wild was missing was long, comprehensive dungeons. I liked the Guardians, and I liked the small little puzzles, but as far as, like, you're in a big dungeon for, like, a couple hours, I would love to have some more of those, and not in the Guardian format. I mean, the Guardians were really cool, but I miss those like old school big dungeon feels that I got from a lot of Zelda games. And I hope that they bring some of that into this.
Yeah, I would absolutely second that. The Guardians were cool, but for me, it was mainly because of the lore that surrounded them. I loved finding out more about the pilots of the Divine Beasts.
So cool.
The memories across the landscape. Yeah, that was my favorite part of playing the Divine Beasts in the first place. And I loved that they gave you the reward of it contributing immensely to the final fight with Ganon, Calamity Ganon, if you ended up using it. But I definitely.
And the power up.
Yeah, like the power ups. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's some more old school Legend of Zelda dungeons. Absolutely second that, Brad. In addition, I don't know how much you all engage with this mechanic, but when I play Breath of the Wild, like we've mentioned, you can really play any way you want to with that game, which makes it so exciting. And when all my friends were saying, oh, I'm this kind of player, I'm that kind of player, for me, I called myself a star catcher because anytime I was going and doing a plot mission or this, that, and the other, the moment I saw a star fall, I would drop everything I was doing and going, nope, get my horse, let's go. And I would ride across the entire map into areas I shouldn't have been in to get a star. But when I looked up the recipes of what you can actually make with the stars, the things you can make actually weren't that good. So I would love if they took something that made you get that same kind of childlike joy of, oh, I'm discovering something cool and exciting, and gave it a really cool and interesting reward versus the stars that felt like this beautiful thing that didn't actually have that much payoff.
I just like, what I get bananas. I felt that way collecting bananas because I'm like, I'm going to make some of my mighty banana food. So I was the banana boy, if anything. You were the star catcher. I was just out there pounding bananas, punching up out of my weight class. Sorry, you were saying, Luigi?
I'm just a very naked link. Well, think about it. In this one, I do want a huge overhaul to like the recipes, or you know, at least like an expansion of the idea. Like we still have a lot of the same ingredients. I think that there's going to be a lot more crazier kinds of mushrooms, just because we've seen some, and mushrooms seem to be important. There's like a mushroom hut. And so maybe those will be like a bigger part of the game. But think about it in this new one, that if you spent time going after the star fragment, put that on your arrow and shoot it. Like in this new one, they might have devastating effects, as opposed to, oh, this will just upgrade like some rare gear at level 4. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's super exciting, because I always felt like I was missing out, because in that situation where you were in Ruby, I was the one like, but I'm doing something. Oh, someday I will get to those. And it didn't, when I finally got to them, I was like, oh, these aren't as special as I thought they were going to be.
Yeah. Did you ever ride Magic Horse? That was the other thing.
Of course. I rode Iwata. Of course I rode Iwata.
I didn't get to ride him, but I remember reading about it. That's a very cool little throw-in for Iwata.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. At the beginning of my second playthrough, I just threw every single bit of shrines that I got into hearts so I could get the Master Sword. And as soon as I did that, I switched it all over to stamina so that I had enough stamina to properly ride Iwata, because you have to have a crap ton of stamina to actually stay on.
And drink a lot of juice. I mean, you could just make a lot of stamina potions, and you'll probably have to drink them real fast. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of menuing in and out.
I say this. I love telling this. So here's the thing. When you get 40 shrines in Breath of the Wild, that is the amount you need to pull the Master Sword out. So do you know the Soul Goblin in Hateno?
Yes.
The little like dark cloud guy who's over there, and he'll like, you can pay him to switch all of your crap out of stamina into hearts. Head over, pull the sword out, and then it costs like 20 per thing. So like, I'll drop a little bit of money. Once I hit 40, I just do that. And then I go back to the way I was loaded out before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my little workaround for that, because I hate getting hearts. I'd rather have stamina early on.
Yeah. Doesn't the Master Sword break after a while?
No,
it does.
Well, it recharges.
It goes away.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So you're right. It doesn't break, but it needs to take a nap.
Oh, for a minute I was like, is there a way gravity to actually lose it forever? Yeah, it takes an app, like no. Luigi said.
You can upgrade that nap, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it needs to take a nap. Hylian Shield will eventually break, but it will last forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing in the Tears of the Kingdom trailer. Zelda's got a new fun haircut.
I love the haircut.
Very
she
excited.
She covered her hair short. It's very cute. Mm-hmm. And I know that probably the champions aren't going to come into it. I am an Urbosa stan. Please give me more flashbacks with Urbosa. Please.
Is she the fish lady?
No, she's she's the Gerudo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like best, the fish people. I don't know. I like the fish guy. I think his name was Sidon. Sidon.
Yes.
Yes. Sidon. Yeah.
Sorry. He's my boy. But tell me more about Urbosa.
Oh, no. I mean, I love Sidon, too. He's a very sweet boy of like, hello, I'm Sidon. You a human? Come with me. He's so chipper. It's very like Peter Pan. energy, you know? I
mean, you just are walking into an absolute war zone that you are not equipped to do, but he's got just such a nice smile. I'm like, all right, cool. I guess I'm going this way now.
Yeah, and he's there just like cheerleading you the entire way. All those cutscenes where it's like, hey, you doing okay there, bud? All right, I'll see you at the river. I was like,
you're 25% of the way there. Like, what? That's it? Oh, well, there's that smile again. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. He gives you the smile. And it's like, all right.
Breath of the Wild is surprising in its length. There was a lot. I mean, you'd think you've seen it all. And then all of a sudden, Link has to cross-dress to sneak into a town. And he looks very fine. He looks very good. Mm. And that whole sequence, I was like, Nintendo still has it. They somehow still know how to create these indelible, fantastic gaming experience. And it just, there's so many unique moments in Breath of the Wild that just are burned into my brain. The first time I saw one of the flying Gyaradoses, the dragons up in the sky, and I'm like, I am going to go up to that thing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go up there.
You can't ride it, though. I went on top of multiple mountains and glided over to them, and you either just fall or you go through them. You can't actually mount them. I was so sad.
No.
That would have been
amazing.
Let
me mount a dragon, Nintendo.
Maybe this Tears of the Kingdom.
Maybe
that's what I'm looking for it.
You're going to be up higher this time for sure.
We've seen them, or at least seen one of them in the trailer. So spend a lot of time with those dragons. Yeah. Just here, let me shoot your foot. just give me a second. I just want to shoot your foot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All right. Anything else that people are really looking forward to with Tears of the Kingdom?
Oh, I mean, a lot. just for it to be here.
Yep. Matthew Mercer getting to live out one of his dream roles, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I stand when actors get to play dream roles. It's delightful to see that and getting this enjoy.
I want to see what they bring. Yeah.
One of the things that I loved about Breath of the Wild was how sparse it felt too. The music almost not there most of the time, and just like really complimentary and like subtleties and occasional swellings. The performances and the characters, they're so spread out and they're so small that they all leave such a big mark, because there's not like, you get so much happening with Zelda. The few Zelda scenes you get are so powerful that they leave a really strong mark for the story. I think the story of Breath of the Wild, the storytelling approach, is a real underrated aspect. You get so lost in throwing swords at bokoblins, you forget it's just beautiful, elegant storytelling that they're really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the strongest, just emotionally powerful Zelda. I love her story in Breath of the Wild. I will say, I'm not a huge fan of the English voice actor, just because when Zelda has these very, very powerful and incredible voice lines about making her own mark and all of these things, it always sounded like Zelda was going to cry to me, but the Latin American Zelda is incredible. Okay. So I always do like the Latin American voice cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I've heard Jar Jar Binks in Russian is actually pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
Not to bring Jar Jar back into another discussion. No, that's fine. That's interesting. I wonder, because you have the different performances. I'm sure the maybe original Japanese actress was maybe more similar to the American one. But yeah, it's all sensibilities for the regions and like kind of what they think people might want. Mm-hmm. I would love it, though, if she was boisterous and loud and aggressive. Sign me up for Latin American Zelda all day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we get to see post, you know, all the conflict and awakening her power and not having her complete prick of a father around. And yeah, you know, maybe she'll be able to like open up more, be herself, or because we didn't get to see much of her. And yeah, it was all in before anything had happened, really. So we'll see. They've definitely, like in Skyward Sword, written a great Zelda before. So I would love to see some of that.
Skyward Sword Zelda was also incredible.
I would love to see the operation or assignment Ada for Skyward Sword Zelda as its own game at some point, because I just fully expected that to happen and it didn't. I was like kind of bummed out about it.
I, no joke, was thinking the exact same thing. And honestly, for me, the most heartbreaking part of playing Skyward Sword was the credit sequence, because it then shows you these teeny little cutscenes of her journey. And I was like, no, give us a game. Give us a game. Why just some flashbacks?
But that's, let right? me have that.
Oh, God. It was, like, that
it was,
so
it was
good.
Like kind of the, it was the quiet death. It was, and like, oh. No,
it could have been called The Legend of Link, Zelda's Journey, or something like that.
Oh, that would be great.
Someday, maybe. If we don't necessarily have anything we want to say about Tears or Breath of the Wild, we can talk about older Zeldas even after a break. Or we can let Bradley go. Because we love him. But let's take a quick break real quick, and we'll be right back.
Never let me go.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Chat of the Wild.
We're giving the show back to you, Luigi. You can have the show back.
That was me thinking you were just saying, hey, guys, how's it going to us? Well, and not realizing we were doing podcast things again.
To be fair, even when we are doing podcasting, I sometimes will just be like, hi, hey, hi, guys, how you doing? So it's fair. I don't know. When I got back from our break earlier, I heard discussions about Wind Waker, and I was wondering if we wanted to talk about some older Zeldas. Link's Awakening also we can talk about any day, because it's a complete mind poof of a game. But I don't know. Were there other strongly held Zelda things we could talk about?
I mean, I freaking love so many of the Legend of Zelda games. Like I said, the one that I started with was Oracle of Seasons. After that was Link's Awakening DX, and I think it is one of the few games that has really pulled off in a way that made sense to me, outside of like Final Fantasy X, but it was all a dream. Final Fantasy X and Link's Awakening did it in a really poignant and beautiful way, in my opinion, that I absolutely adored.
Both have giant whale things, too, like whale monsters, which is interesting.
They do! Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Hang on.
You know, it has stakes. Are you saving the whale monster in 10 from its
No,
dream?
It's your dad. The whale monster's your dad.
Oh. Right, okay. Never
mind. But it does have god-like powers.
Yeah. Huh. Can send people into the dream world or pull them out. Jack has some interesting powers as Sin. I love the Windfish. And the dream aspect of those games are great. I love when Mario and Zelda go into the dream world because all bets are off. That's a Goomba you're fighting, Link. Have fun.
Yeah, the Bow Wow. That's just hanging out in the initial village. Like, hey, what's up? That you literally have to use in order to get into one of the dungeons. Hang out with.
And yes. It's a simple story, but the fact that Link does have this moment where all of the people he's learned to care for in this world, by waking up, he has to get rid of all of them. That stirred emotions in me when I was young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like even the bosses are like, no, but like for real, you're going to destroy everything.
You're the bad guy.
Please stop. and then you step out of the dungeon, and then all of a sudden the owl's like, hey, you should go here next. I don't know. It's just there's something. It's one of the more unsettling Zelda games to me when I think about it. You know, Majora, but Link's Awakening, I don't know.
Oh, okay. But speaking of which, that I was the kid that loved going down theory rabbit holes, and I 100% am in the camp of Majora's Mask is purgatory for that Link.
He's dead.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah. Well, so Luigi's heard this theory. Brad, have you?
No, I haven't played Majora's Mask. Yeah.
All right,
he's totally dead.
I'm gonna lore dump on you with some Legend of Zelda lore because this.
Oh please!
I love this so much. And Luigi, please feel free to add to or jump in, etc. as I go.
Okay.
So, in The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, it is established that humans or Hylians, if they get lost in the Lost Woods, if they are children, become the little skull kids that you see that like have the very weird faces and just play the flute. And if they are adults, they become Stelfos. So those big skeleton enemies that you fight in like the Forest Temple, etc., those are human people that got lost in the Lost Woods. So
yes.
In Majora's Mask, Link is at the end of the story. It's a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time. And he is seen going into the Lost Woods, going to a very strange part of it, and directly being constantly transformed through masks to a different shape, going through this story of a world that's crumbling and fighting against a skull kid. So a lot of people interpret this as Link finally got lost in the Lost Woods, became a skull kid or a Stelfos himself, and all of Majora's Mask is him in purgatory during that transformation because he's dead.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone pitched that in the first episode of our Majora season, and I was like, okay. And by the end, I'm like, oh, no, dude, I'm on board. This kid is dead.
Yeah, it's if you go back and Nintendo has said, no, that's not the thing. And here's the thing.
No, of course not.
Some of the Hyrule Historia timeline I agree with, but the timeline technically didn't even exist by Nintendo's means. Like, fans came up with the timeline, repeatedly sent it into Nintendo. They said there is no canon timeline, but because people were demanding it so much, eventually went, look, there's this book, and we half-assed some of it to try and make it make sense.
And we really we want to release the first Zelda game for the next one, and we want to build something. So we need to shape up the timeline if we're going to do something like that going forward, which is kind of what another reason why Skyward Sword is a big deal is because, like, okay, now they actually are working with something. Are they going to, like, stick to it? Does it all make sense? No. But now it's something they're actively thinking about.
Because the fans wanted to hear it so badly. Originally, they were just thinking about it as, think like old folk tales of you hear stories of a mythic hero, and there are many quests. So you could hear a million different stories that involve Zeus. And he's just this mythical figure that is interpreted many different ways. And originally, that's how Nintendo was thinking about Link, Zelda, Ganon. It's just like, and this is another myth that could or couldn't be true. But since so many people found these connections of, like, for example, the boat that sails away at the end of Link's Awakening looks exactly like the boat scene at the beginning of Oracle of Ages and Seasons. So a lot of people theorize they lead directly one into the next.
That's just Capcom pulling from Link's. See, at a certain point, yeah, some of that I agree with, but then it's all like George Lucas in the prequels. It's like poetry. It's that they rhyme, like it, which really only means I'm pulling references out of the old movie to make you feel ways.
Oh,
like it's
and flip those. It's sorry, just, it's Seasons, Ages, and then Link's Awakening. Anyway, sorry.
I'm with you, Ruby. If it's the same looking boat, my mind is going to put it together. Those have to match. And whenever I'm trying to piece together lore in games, I'm like, even if you tell me canonically, like, all right, this is not right, I'm like, no, it works better for me, and I'm going to make it mine. I have a Mega Man timeline, which is very obscene. It's horrible. And there are times I'm like, no, Mega Man did play soccer this year, and you can't tell me he didn't. They made a soccer game, and then there was a story about it. And I'll jump through hoops to make things add together, because it works better that way.
Yeah, and some of it are people pulling together theories that you go, oh yeah, that seems like canon, or no, this doesn't. But the fun fact, the death thing and Link becomes a Stalfos, there's another thing that people tie it to later on in that part of the timeline that makes me think it's true even more. So in Twilight Princess, you are constantly taught swordplay by a Stalfos, at the very end, you cross blades and the Stalfos says, like, I believe in you. I've taught you everything I can. Go forward, my son. And a lot of people are like, oh, is that the previous Link that got lost in the Lost Woods?
They tell you it's basically Ocarina Link. So at some point you are told that in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's crazy. And then they're like, no, he's not dead. And we're like, nah, he's okay, fine. He's not dead, but he's a skeleton man now. And it's totally reasonable to assume that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? For some reason, I don't know what it is. I thought the way that they did the combat in Twilight Princess, I was like, oh, this is so cool. There's so many moves. It's so great that the combat is so complex, and Wind Waker's combat is just, when I think about it, when I played both of them back to back, was like, wait a minute, no, it's not. It's just not. They should have just stuck with there's something so much more simplistic but like nuanced about fighting in Wind Waker that it just, no, never mind. All this stuff they added doesn't matter.
This is one of the unfortunate things about me and Twilight Princess. Every Legend of Zelda game, hear me out. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. And any time I've played other Legend of Zelda games, people would ask me, oh, hey, which dungeon do I go to next? And immediately I would know, oh, this is the next dungeon. Because they were all so iconic and specific. And like a year after I had played Twilight Princess for the first time, someone said, hey, where's this Zelda dungeon, or what's the next one in Twilight Princess? And I genuinely couldn't remember. And now you're talking about this, and I remember you can turn into a wolf, and I remember what maybe two or three of the dungeons look like. But overall, just Twilight Princess wasn't that memorable a Zelda game to me, so I've always found it a little weaker. But like the Yeti castle is amazing. That one's just great.
That's when the game starts to pick up again.
Yeah, and then I also love, because
in the middle, it's just kind of muddy.
Yeah, and then I loved, like, that you could... The Temple of Time was its own dungeon. And I remember the monkeys.
Monkeys are great.
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah, like, another problem is that, like, I just beat this dungeon. Where do I go next? I was like, well... You have, like, to collect a bunch of seeds and, like, light orbs, and then you have to do a bunch of, like, fetch quests, and you haven't even met the bar owner yet. So you don't have a dungeon in your future. You have a bunch of map stuff you have to do. So I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Yeah, whereas Wind Waker, I feel like if someone asked me about the dungeons or some of the different islands, I could still pop that stuff off, and I haven't replayed that game and, like, 4 years.
I was able to write the outline for that season from memory. I just planned the whole season out from just like, yeah, it's a memorable game, and I played it, you know, 4 times probably, and that was enough to like plan a season around.
Did you guys play the GameCube or the HD?
GameCube.
I played GameCube. Some people, I always try and play on original hardware for the Zelda game. So, but then I also don't own any of the HD ones, and everyone else does. So,
yeah, I also have, like, I've always played it on GameCube. When I play it on my series later, just for the sake of being able to stream it, I'm going to be playing HD. And from what I understand, they completely changed how you get the, like, different pieces of the Triforce. Apparently they make it like you don't have to get the individual maps, you just kind of get the Triforce pieces.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier, because then you'll go to the place where you get the map and it's just there instead of having to go fish it up. Yeah. I don't think the maps are any cheaper, but yeah,
okay,
that's when you're supposed to stop playing that game. So
okay, got it. Wait, hang on a second. No, finish the game. Wind Waker's great.
Oh, no. At that point, you can just kind of like, you're good.
But you've that final boss fight is so good. That ending fine. With Tetra is so good.
The ending with Princess Zelda. I guess she does sort of get to be Tetra again for a little bit. Tetra, they do Tetra so wrong. Tetra's the greatest character in Zelda history, and they do her so wrong.
Yeah, I wish that Tetra still looked like Tetra, just in the Zelda getup, completely changing her appearance to make her look more like a princess. I was like,
yeah,
that's weird to me.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the DS ones, they're like, oh, then you don't even get to see Tetra. You get to see Tetra for like a second. And then they sort of have like, Zelda's cool. Okay, you know what? Zelda's cool in Spirit Tracks, but you know, whatever.
And that's one that I never finished, because the enemy felt so ridiculous to me that I actually couldn't get into it. But I want to play it at some point.
The guy has two hats. Spirit Tracks opens up way too late. There's like a bunch of cool stuff you can do at the end of the game. And by that point, you're like, where's the end? Where do I point my train?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, there's like, we've got two new, like, big dungeons that you can do, like, that aren't even, like, required. And, like, I'm ready to be done.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. You should have done this earlier, man.
Or the really cool dungeons should have been some of the required ones.
I don't know if they're cool or not.
Oh, okay, got it.
They could be weak, who knows. But they're just not required.
I definitely have not played Spirit Tracks. I thought I had played all of the handheld ones, but the fact that I'm looking at Link on a train, I don't remember that.
It's
I can almost guarantee you I haven't played all the handheld ones, because there was one that got basically no marketing, and I found out about it a week before it came out. Have you heard of Triforce Heroes?
Yes. I have heard of Triforce Heroes. I haven't played it. I've heard of it, though.
Do you know the main mechanic of Triforce Heroes, Brad?
Is that that's the multiplayer one where you have to work together to solve puzzles?
And all your powers are based on outfits. And the princess has been cursed by a horrible fashionista that wanted her fashion. So the princess is in basically a full body brown unitard with just a cutout face hole. And it's like, I can't be pretty. Save me. So it's about they're in the drab lands and it's about bringing fashion back to the kingdom. I'm not even joking. This is the actual plot.
Oh man, it sounds pretty ill-advised. It's like when they made Princess Peach's superpowers her emotions in that one handheld game. It's like Super Princess Peach. Super Princess she uses Peach. Her emotions to as a gameplay mechanic. And fun game. I don't know about your concept.
Well, at least she had emotions, unlike the movie.
Yeah, Triforce Heroes sounds like a mix of the Catwoman film and Final Fantasy X-2. And
yeah, I feel like there are multiple games where like femme protagonists are done wrong. The Tetra thing just straight up felt like whitewashing to me. Of like, what are you doing?
This, I think her skin even gets lighter, but I don't know.
No, it does.
Please don't hold me to that.
No, it does. It goes from full, like, Tetra is not white to suddenly she has completely pale skin. It's
how do you do?
That felt real awkward to me. That's what I meant when I said that transformation wasn't cool. Just stating it plain. And with a, like,
and that Ganon fight's not as awesome as you think it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and like in 10-2, it was really unfortunate because Riku and Yuna were both these very strong characters with beautiful arcs. And then I play the beginning of 10-2, and it was just like, and now all we do is dance and wear super skimpy outfits. And like, it pissed me off as just a general feminist. I was like, why are you doing this?
I'm happy that Lulu's like, I will not be a part of this game. Lulu's like, nope, I have standards. You can have pain instead.
Maybe it has something to do with like looking into the face of Whale God and just like, well, you know, at this point, I just want to dance. I don't know.
I can understand wanting to just live your dreams after, you know, fighting in a horrible, terrible war and going on a pilgrimage. That tracks.
I know you were a religious icon. Like, how about you be a pop star instead?
Yeah, for me, it was more the fact that suddenly they were in so much skimpier outfits and it felt way more like fan service to me than actual development of the characters. Does that make sense?
The first
No,
sequel
absolutely.
Of,
that's 100%. Yeah.
Of a of a numbered Final Fantasy game, basically being really weird fan service. Yeah.
It's horribly unfortunate because actually the Dress Spheres as a concept was really great, being able to change gameplay and combat styles on the fly. Bringing a job system back into Final Fantasy is great, but do they all have to be wearing thongs all the time?
Yeah, so like. Coming back to Zelda, the reason I make that point is like the fact that it's you are in the drab lands and the princess you're trying to save is because she can't be pretty. I was like, Nintendo just took feminism and flushed it down the toilet. What is this?
Yeah.
So I didn't even play like 10 minutes into Triforce Heroes before I was like, peace. So yeah.
There's some there's some great, like, the licensed art around that game is actually pretty great. It's a bunch of Toon Links, like, with just costumes lying around, being like, what are, like, putting, just trying different stuff on. So, like, I'll use that for, like, Discord events or things like, come hang out. We're just doing dumb stuff. And some of it's kind of cute, but yeah, it's just, that's a really weird thing they made.
Which is why I appreciate Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild Zelda so much, because they are so much more empowered characters. Like, ugh, yes, give me them all day.
And Urbosa, like, just the few scenes you get with Urbosa is just like,
my queen, my just, life,
just real great.
My life, my giant woman.
You just see how much she cares about Zelda, and yeah, it's great.
She is strong and fierce and powerful and a force of nature who is also caring and loving of her friends. Like, that, that is the kind of incredible warrior femme representation I want in future Legend of Zelda games.
Even with the, like, broken timeline of the Age of Calamity Hyrule Warriors game, I was just sort of mad the whole time, because I'm just like, this is all just nothing fanfic. I don't like any of this. I wanted more, but like, or anytime I'm hanging out with Urbosa, like, this is great. I don't care. You're here. This is cool. You're still one of the best characters around. They don't even do anything with what's his face, Revali. You're like, okay, you have more time to hang out with Revali. Let's like give him an arc, an actual character arc. And like at the end of that game, Teba like heads back to the future and is just like, man, it's a real like Trunks meeting Vegeta moment of like, oh, you're just the worst. This has been eye-opening, really.
Okay, so I haven't played Age of Calamity, but what I'm hearing is Age of Calamity may not be great.
Age of Calamity is fun. It is not the prequel to Breath of the Wild you want it to be.
Oh, then I probably won't play it.
That's a Dynasty Warriors game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I played the demo and thought, this is definitely not for me.
It's fun. You know, the fun thing about the enemies are the same, their attacks are the same, their tells are the same. The way you dispatch them is completely different. But the giant enemies all act the same way, which is kind of funny. So you spend like 30 hours playing that game and then pop Breath of the Wild in and you're like, oh, I see all of these attacks more clearly now because I've been staring at them over and over and over again. And so they become easier to beat up in Breath of the Wild somehow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun in a Dark Souls way. You're like, oh, that's now you're going to do this. I know now. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Zelda's great. I like Zelda even when I don't.
Me too.
Yeah, I haven't played probably at least half of the Zelda games, but I have such good feelings about the ones that I have played. For me, it's either that classic Link to the Past style. I love the handhelds. I love Link's Awakening. All of them that are like that overhead screen scrolling like that, I'm so there for. And Breath of the Wild has been, I mean, Wind Waker I played, but I didn't necessarily love. Breath of the Wild was like big time, a big deal when I was playing it. I went in very hard when I started playing that game and I almost 100%ed it. And yeah, I like Zelda games.
Hmm. Do you like Zelda games, Ruby?
I have it tattooed on my body. What do you think?
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a Wingcrest tattoo. But yes, I'm a huge fan of Legend of Zelda games. They are the reason that I am the gamer that I am today. And they have influenced a great deal of my life, the kinds of stories, the kinds of puzzle solving that I am most greatly attracted to. I friggin' love them. And I think that at this point, there are only 5 or 6 in the entire canon, not including the CDI games. Not including the CDIs.
What are those?
Those are canonically not accurate games.
Yeah.
They definitely are non-canonical.
They're out of... they're non-ganon.
They're non-ganon. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the Ganonical games.
Sha-la-la.
So you played Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land?
I also don't consider that canon.
I do. Okay. I have never played it, but it is the most canonical game in the series, I think.
I believe it's Ganonical, but it is not canon. It's not canonical.
Right, okay. Okay, so the ones I have not fully beaten are...
Yes.
The original Legend of Zelda and Adventure of Link. I've never beat those great. Two.
One and two?
Yes, one okay. and two.
Both great. Both great.
Yep. I have never actually beat Link to the Past, but I've played it multiple times and then just would always get busy with other projects and forget.
Also great.
Yep. I have never beat Spirit Tracks, and I have never beat Four Swords Adventures. And that one is not from lack of trying. It is from lack of being able to get friends together for a full campaign Legend of Zelda. Because
I've never beaten that one. I don't think I've ever played it.
I will say it is the next in the timeline, and I'm really excited. A dear friend of mine, Digital Lozenge, has a full setup specifically to be able to play that game and get a group together. So I'm going to be playing that with my partner and with my two friends, Scaredy Cat and Digital Lozenge, and we're going to do the full like four player for Four Swords Adventures. I'm so pumped.
Well, that'll be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. I don't know.
Say if you need.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
No, go ahead.
If you need someone to ride shotgun on the NES ones because they're obtuse, or no, abstruse, excuse me, because they're abstruse, let me know, because I play through those like once a year because they're great.
I very well may take you up on that because I was planning on having a guy just at the ready since apparently they are just so difficult to make your way through if you don't know what you're doing. And the few times that I have touched the originals were me looking at the map and going, what? How?
Yeah.
Where?
Sometimes that doesn't help you.
Yeah.
I have beat all of the Zelda games, I think, at this point, but not Tingle's Rosie Rupee Land.
Doesn't you haven't beat them all
Blue
then?
Trip of Love. Or it CDI. Might be the, I want to play the CDI ones.
I've heard the CDI games aren't as bad as they get credited as.
And then I've also heard they're worse than they're credited as. So I never know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a couple of. I have a way to play two of them, but that might be it. But who knows? Someday, patrons probably would be a way to make us do that someday. Someday. Also, find more Zelda media and we'll watch it. But so far, we've only had to watch the awful cartoon show. So,
will excuse me, princess. I will say,
apparently, moonlighting. I don't know.
An amazing piece of media. If you have not watched it, that is related to Legend of Zelda. Have you seen the animated Breath of the Wild video?
The speedrunning one?
Oh, yeah.
The speedrun Breath of the Wild video?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Yes. Fantastic.
That is one of my favorite videos on the internet. It's so good.
Incredibly accurate, too, as far as how the speedrun was done.
It's
At that time, it's so good. Mm-hmm.
It's surprisingly, like, nuanced, those things. That the way, like, that even just, like, how slapdash it seems to be, like, if you know enough about what they're pulling from, like, you can notice the little, like, very nuanced things about speedruns or just the game. It's if they're not even doing a speedrun one, they're just doing the game. It's like, ah, okay, I caught that.
Yeah.
It's like a reference in, like, the Book of Mormon, if, like, only Mormons get or something.
Mm-hmm. I think that the first time I ever watched that video, I had never seen a speedrun. So we watched the video. I was laughing my butt off, but I didn't know what some of the tricks were yet. Watched the speedrun and then went back and watched it again. And the before and after, it was hilarious both times, but for very different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, why don't we wrap it up? We'll definitely have you guys back in when Tears of the Kingdom's out to do a little check-in thing. I don't want to say too much about it here, but I don't know if we're doing that for some reason, keeping it behind the curtain. But my thing is what you're wearing, what's your weapon, and what's your tip. But that's my little spiel for it so far. So, hey, where can people find you?
I'm in my room right now, but I would rather not reveal that place and location.
Mm. Well, if there were things that you do want people to find on the internet somewhere, where might those things be located?
Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. Hi, my name's Ruby Hart, Legend of Zelda fan and actor speedrunner, as well as a GDQ interviewer. You can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHart. That is R-U-B-I-E-H-A-R-T. I have a series on Sundays called The Legend of Ruby, Hero of the Historia, where I am playing through the entire Legend of Zelda timeline. And as mentioned earlier, right now we are on The Legend of Potato Minish Cap, because I let my chat name my link for each individual game. This time, Potato. His name is Potato. And we have a little potato gif. It's delightful. I also do speedruns of anything from Shadow of the Colossus, Titan Souls, Solar Ash. This summer at SGDQ, I'm going to be running Overcooked 2, all Hangry Horde levels with my team, and so many more games that I either do speedrun or I'm learning the speedruns to. So feel free to check me out there.
And I am Loaf of White Brad. I have another podcast called Hair of the Dogcast, where we talk about video games and beer. And when I am not doing that, I am spending most of my free time researching video games or playing video games. Our next month is Street Fighter we're doing, and I have written 20 pages Ooh. Of outlines just about the games without touching Ooh. The lore, and I'm terrified. Those games are fantastic. I've recently played through quite a bit of them. We have another podcast series about craft beer. We have one about Elden Ring, and we have gotten probably about 20, 30 hours of talking about Elden Ring at this point, and there's so much more to talk about. I feel about Elden Ring the way y'all feel about Legend of Zelda, I believe. And yeah, so you can find me on Hair of the Dogcast. Look it up. And you can find me at Games Done Quick. You can find me in Milwaukee, hopefully outside drinking a beer because the weather is nice sometimes. And thank you so much for having us on, Luigi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Long time friend.
If you like it, long time. So long. If you like the three of us talking and would like to hear more, go check out our other show, which is Need for Speedrunning.
Yeah.
A podcast about speedruns and the people who love them. We did a Mario Odyssey episode recently. Doing an episode talking about Summer Games Done Quick. The schedule for the marathon is out, and it is delightful. And BC hung out with us and talked about the schedule. So yeah, check that out. That's coming up at the end of May, early June.
Mm-hmm. And very excited. It is stacked with Legend of Zelda speedruns. I think there are six or seven in this marathon. So yeah, definitely want to check out
those. A blindfolded Breath of the Wild speedrun.
That one's gonna be wild. Yeah.
Anyway, you have been listening to Chat of the Wild. Please rate and review the show. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chatofthewild, and come back and listen to more wonderful Zelda episodes, because we love you and we love Brad. And Brad, go to bed.
Just need some NyQuil.